Now, most of you know that I used to go to Pastor Haynes' church over in Grace Bible. And I gotta try to maintain my composure because I get a little emotional once in a while. One of the best services I ever was in with Pastor Haynes was one day he had everybody pick a song and tell us why that song in the hymn was important to them. And I'm telling you, some of the people that are at that church, have been at that church, been saved longer than I've been alive. And this year I'll be 50. And some of them had some dear stories of songs. And when we sang them, you know, sometimes we sing songs and they're just words that we're saying. You know, we've sang them so many times. But when you sit and listen to a song that's touched somebody's heart,
yeah,
a song that was sung at their mom and dad's funeral, when Mr. Harley said that, just tore my heart out.
Yeah.
You know? It's pretty amazing how songs, and now I said that because Pastor come to me and he goes, how many songs do you want to sing? I said, I don't care. He said, well, we usually sing 2 to 4. We ended up singing 5 today. That's awesome though, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's a testimony that we can worship God in song too, right? So, bear with me for a second. I gotta get my Bible open. And then I'll tell you where to go here in a moment. We will use the Bible today while I'm up here. How many of you knew that I was gonna be up here this 1 o'clock service? Well, last week he announced that I was going to be taking the last Sunday of every month, and he goes, hey, big boy, you know, next week's the last Sunday of the month. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm prepared for today. I remember he made mention of me being here Thursday. Thursday was my busiest day of the week, bar none. Not including what he added on to me, okay? And I haven't taught, you know, like took a passage of scripture and taught in a long time. I didn't have that opportunity. We were at Pastor Haynes' church. There's a lot of people that have been saved for a long time, and I didn't necessarily feel that I was worthy enough to be teaching those men that have been saved long and I've been alive. Oh yeah, hey, you see this? Sam Parker gave this to me. Well, he didn't give it to me, but he let me use it.
Wow.
This is the first time I ever wore a bow tie, ever.
Uh-huh.
You like that? Does it look good? Well, don't look from here up. Does it look good? I'm not hearing any yeses. Hey, you know the great thing about a bow tie? Nobody's yanking on it and pulling you around and saying, come follow me. Anyways, Thursday. Pastor texted me and said, I have a family or a medical emergency and I need to attend to that. Can you do the Bible study? And the first thing he tells me is, well, teach whatever God lays on your heart. And I'm like, okay, I can do that, because I'll pray and God will give me something that's familiar enough that I can talk about it. And hopefully I have enough time that I can scribble some stuff down today before I get home and have to get in the truck and come out here. Well, in the middle of the day, I text him and said, oh, I got something God laid on my heart. And he's like, well, I really want you to teach out of the book of Luke, where we've been with the Bible study. And he said, oh yeah, and by the way, I'm not going to be able to pick up Bryson. Can you pick Bryson up too? And I'm like, oh my word. Well, if you were here Thursday night, you know that I kind of swung and missed. And I liken it to golf. Have any of you ever played golf before?
Oh, yeah.
Have you watched it? Oh, yeah? Now, I know all the mechanics of how to play golf, how to swing the clubs, keep your head down, keep your arms straight, you know, nice follow through. Don't lift your head until after you swing. And occasionally, I do everything right, and that ball goes perfectly straight right down the fairway. And then other times, I do everything right in my mind, and that ball goes over here to the left, over here to the right, into the sand, into the rough, sometimes into the woods to be lost. And I think Thursday night, that's where I was, in the woods to be lost. I was swinging the club, but it was making some bad connection. Now, some of you have been gracious about that. You've commented that God used some of the things that I had to say Thursday night, and I appreciate that. Tonight, or this afternoon, I'm going to say that I'm a little more prepared. So I do know this, that we need to pray before I get too far into this so that God will bless it. Okay, let's do that. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to stand up here and to open your word up and to preach in on it and just to be an encouragement to others. And Lord, I pray that you'd really hide me behind the cross. Lord, that people would see you and you only. I just pray that if there's anyone here that's not sure that they will spend eternity with you in heaven, if they have not made that right with you yet, Lord, I pray that you would convict them today. Just praise you for what you've done in our lives. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Pastor John's been talking about Brother Vernon, Living Waters, right? He's at Living Waters Baptist Church down in North Carolina, and encouraging everybody in the church to listen to his messages. So I got on and I was in my truck. I have Bluetooth, so I can hook my iPhone up. And thankfully, we live in a day and age where we have the technology to be driving down the road and listening to stuff off the internet. And I was listening to Brother Vernon, and one of the things that he said, and it really struck me because it was after Thursday, and he said, sometimes me saying it isn't as good as what God was showing it to me. And that's exactly how I felt Thursday. You know, what I had to say, I've lived on Thursday.
Amen.
But it just didn't come out the way that I wanted it to. What I had to say was important, but it just didn't come out the way that God had shown it to me through my life, okay? I'm not going to belabor Thursday night anymore. I learned my lesson, all right? My lesson is not to get into a golf tournament without practicing a lot more. You understand, Bob?
Yes, sir, I do.
I was there. You were there, too. You remember it?
Yeah.
We had a moment.
You were pretty good at picking on me.
We had a moment. Yeah, that's all right. You have broad shoulders.
I do.
Yeah,
yes.
You've told me that, and you said you're pretty tough too.
Used to be.
Yeah. That's what you told me.
Then I got old.
You got old. Yeah. Happens to the best of us every day. We're getting older. Ask Pastor Hayne; he'll tell you. Oh. I know the will of God for your guys' lives. Every single one of you. And you'd be like, yeah, right, Mike. That's between me and God. Right? Because that's what I've heard in churches. The will of God is between you and God, and no other man knows that. Or maybe even more accurately, God's calling on your life is between you and God. But I'm going to tell you, I know the will of God for your life. God lays that out in his word in several different passages. This week while I was reading, probably one of the shortest verses in the Bible because I struggle with not praying enough. And probably if we were all honest, we would say the same thing. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, most of you know the verse. We don't even have to look it up. And that's not the one that I'm going to be preaching out of, but it was the verse that I was looking at. It says, pray without ceasing. Right? Thursday night, when I left here, I talked to my best guy friend. And he said, he goes, Mike, I need cheered up. I'm a little defeated right now. And I was thinking, after Thursday night, I'm the wrong guy. I'm the wrong guy to feel that way, because I felt like I was kicked too. I just kept asking him a bunch of questions, just biblical questions, and he kept answering to me. And one of the things that he said to me is, I take everything to God now. Everything. He said, it doesn't matter what it is. Every little thing I take to God now. He says it's exhausting sometimes. So I went there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I read that verse, and I just read it over, and I said, God, help me understand what it means to pray without ceasing. And then, while I was on that verse, I read down just a little bit farther. That verse is number 17. I just read the very next verse. And it says, in everything give thanks. When are we to give thanks, folks, according to that verse? All the time? Not just all the time. What does it say in that verse?
Everything.
In everything. What does that mean to you? That means that, for me, it means everything. Doesn't matter. I go out and turn the key in that car. I should have prayed, God, make sure that that car starts for me today.
Amen.
Because even if it's a brand new car, you can't guarantee that it's going to.
Yep.
Right? God, keep me safe as I drive these roads. I have friends that aren't here anymore because they were killed by somebody else being an idiot.
Yep.
In a vehicle. And everything. Doesn't matter what it is. In everything. How easy is it to be thankful when things are going right in your life? Pretty easy. You guys think it is? Somebody walks up, hands you a $100 bill, are you thankful for it? Yeah? How about $1,000? Would you be thankful for it? Pastor Haynes said some of us wouldn't be happy unless it was $50,000. Right? Sometimes it's hard to be thankful when things are going right. You ever thought about that? When you have that new car, you don't even think about that kind of stuff anymore. You just go out, turn the key, expect it to start. You know, you've driven the route that you go to work 100 times, maybe 1,000 times. You don't even think about it anymore. You're not thankful that God got you there. You're not thankful that God got you home. You know? I've been coming out here ever since Brother McVeigh taught the week of meetings,
yep.
Right? And I don't know if most of you know, but this time of year, probably you've seen it. There's, if you've lived any time in Western New York, you've seen this. There's a lot of deer that get killed this time of year, right?
Yeah.
Okay? Well, I'm not, attached to my vehicles to the point where, you know, I would have a nervous breakdown if one of them got destroyed. But I don't want to hit a deer. I've done that before. I don't want to do it again, ever again in my life. So before I come here, especially at night, and I should do it during the day, but especially at night, I ask God, don't let me even see a deer. And some people will say, why did you even pray that, Mike? That's stupid. But I'm going to tell you what. I prayed that every time that I came over here when Brother McVeigh was here. And every night that I have had to come over here since then, and I've not once, not even once, seen a deer. Not even on the side of the road, I haven't seen their eyes. And that, to me, that's an amazing thing, that God answered that prayer, right? That's what it's talking about in this verse. Be thankful for everything. Every single thing.
Yep.
Even when things are going well. It gets really hard when it's not going well. When the kids aren't being behaved, the bills are past due, car broke down, and you don't know why, and you're on the side of the road, you have a tire that blew out, and you destroyed the rim, and it sits in the church parking lot for 2 or 3 weeks. That could be any one of us out there that has that car out there. Or alongside the road. Or any one of the things that go wrong in our lives. Do you know that everything that goes wrong in your life as a Christian, somewhere in the United States, not even in the world, just somewhere in the United States, a lost person is going through that exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that?
Yep.
If you're sick, somebody's sick somewhere out there. God tells us to be thankful. Even in those sicknesses. Even that tire blowing out. Even if I would have hit a deer, I'm to be thankful. Right, Mr. Finn? You got one this year, didn't you? Grilled venison's pretty good, I hear. not Pastor Hain, but the pastor before at the 5 Mile, he used to go and pick up deer. If somebody called him and said, hey, we hit a deer, or we seen somebody hit a deer. I used to pick on him all the time. I'm like, how are those yellow line yummies? He goes, they're pretty good. He goes, remember that venison roast you had at my house? That was one I picked up. Remember the story of Job? Do you? Job had a pretty good life, didn't he? He had adult children. And the way it sounded, he was pretty wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
He had a wife. Bible says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing. I'm not so sure about his wife after all the things he went through. She told him to curse God and die, but would you have the same attitude that Job did? God giveth and God taketh away. I don't think Job was joyful, but he was thankful. Because he knew that God had given him the stuff. Given him the wealth. I thought you were doing that to me, Joey. Sometimes I do need to be quiet. How would your attitude be if you were Job? And for all intents and purposes, he lost everything. He lost his house. He lost his livelihood. He lost his family. The only thing he had left was his body and his wife. And he still had a thankful, I look at it and say that he had a thankful attitude. Now, we blow a tire on the highway and we get pulled over to the side of the road safely and we're all out of sorts, not being thankful at all. We're acting just like the world does. Just like the world. Like we have no hope in our God. None whatsoever. Is that the way we're supposed to act? And the Bible says that we're supposed to be thankful in everything, even that blown tire, even in the passing of a child or your wife. I mean, I know you're going to mourn. I know that I'll mourn the day that something happens to my wife. But I'll also be thankful that God let me be with her. Let her be my wife. She's made me a better man.
Amen.
Most of us men can attest to that. I think Pastor kind of did today.
Amen.
Talking about his wife, love, and his children. We often miss that kind of stuff, though, by not being thankful for it. We sometimes get unthankful for the answer when we ask God for something when it doesn't match up with what we expect. You pray for something in your life that's going wrong or something that you need taken care of, and you're not thankful for when God answers, or maybe God's not answering and you're not thankful for those things. It says in that verse again, let's look at it real quick. I'm going to go to the back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And I told you that when I first started this, that I knew the will of God for you. The only reason I know the will of God for you is because that's what the Bible says. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. The next passage, or next part of the verse says, in Christ Jesus concerning you. That part of that verse is the key to it, is in Christ Jesus. If you're a Christian, we have a hope that the world doesn't have. So when their tire blows out, they have no hope. They have no anchor. They have nothing they can look back on and say, okay, God, I know that you're in control of this. You're going to take care of me. It may not necessarily be the way that I want you to take care of me, but you're going to take care of me. And we often forget the verses that say that God's conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ in Romans 8. Every time something goes wrong in our life, or every time something goes right in our life, God is always working in our life to make us more like Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Right?
Right.
Pastor Haynes is going to share at the Bible study when Pastor John's gone, that how his life is profited in Jesus Christ, not in him, but in Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing thing when God steps into a person's life and changes them. And Pastor John was testifying about that, about the two ladies sitting here in the pew, of what God's done in their lives. And we all can go around and testify to what God has done for us in our lives. Every single one of us. We can be thankful for things. As a matter of fact, I want to know some of the things that you're thankful for today. What are some of the things that God's done for you, maybe even this week, or in your life that you're thankful for? Don't be bashful. I'm thankful for my wife. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, I'm thankful for the interviewing job that I do. Is there's nothing going on right now. It won't be until the beginning of January. And come to find out that my territory might even be phased out. So I went online to see what's available in Olean. And so for about the last 6-8 weeks, I've been cleaning at the Olean Library. And I like the job. And I'm thankful for the job. Now, you know, if I was born to rich parents and I didn't have to work, I might like that too. But I've never had the opportunity to determine that.
You're assuming that they would have left you money, right?
Yeah, the way things are going, probably not. But I'm thankful for the job. 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. And that's been a test. Because as a pastor, I've had a, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days, 24/7, I guess the way to put it. But you had the flexibility. So if you wanted to go do something, you had the flexibility of schedule. But all of you that work at a job where you got a fixed schedule, you know, you got to be there. And well, this is an experience. 5 days, 12 to 3 or 1 to 4, it varies, I will be there. Everything has to be done around that. And so it's been a learning experience. Now, I'm there for the paycheck, but I've had opportunity to be involved in a few people's lives, not to great depth, but to encourage them. but it's a learning experience because, I got to be there and fill out your time card. I never had to fill out a time card.
At your other cleaning job, you didn't have to fill out a time card, did you?
No. That's right.
And they were flexible, too, for you, weren't they?
Yeah, they were a lot more flexible for me. And yeah. So this is it's just, I'm thankful for the job, but also for the learning experience that's going with it, where I can walk in other people's shoes.
Amen.
For a little bit.
Yes, ma'am.
I've got two phrases, honestly. The first one is actually to go right along with Pastor Haynes. The other day we were there at the Olean Library, and Josh would come over, and I saw Pastor Haynes. And he was so proud that Pastor Haynes was there working, and that, I'm sure he's telling people about Jesus. And it just really touched my heart that he had that ability to see a man of God doing that.
I like it.
Amen.
And I'm just thankful that God saved me. I'm just
awesome.
Not real worthy, but I'm so thankful.
Yeah. Pastor said today in his message that why would Jesus die for me? I'm not worthy. And that's exactly how I feel. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy that the God of heaven would come down to earth and die a horrible death to take my place, to pay my penalty. Every time I think about that, it just brings me to tears because I am not worthy of what he did for me. And I'm thankful that he did. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
I'm just thankful that God has done so good to me to basically give me the chance to have more than really necessary than what I need. God's been
my head
and
a mother who just kind of
needs his
bond.
He just,
he's
very thankful for how God
treated me. Amen. Living in America, we have a lot of things to keep. Above and beyond, we're blessed above and beyond. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
I have two things I'm thankful for. One, that God gave me this husband, and through him, a wonderful family that we've built. And two, again, that he's here, we're looking at, we don't know exactly how much time to be together, and where he's not working, and I'm looking at it as a blessing, because we've spent so much time apart in the 17 years that we've been together, and it's scary looking at the future, but I know God's going to take care of us. And I'm just really enjoying having him home.
Amen. What, she was thankful that you were home?
Yeah. See me around, yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad that you're here. I get to pick on you a little bit once in a while, more than I did before. Yes, ma'am.
Thankful for God.
Amen. Anyone else want to share something you're thankful for? Jody?
I'm just really thankful for my family. This week I went and we saw a little boy who's struggling right now. He had to have open heart surgery, and it just reminded me to be thankful for every moment you have with your family and your children, and that God really is merciful, Lord.
Amen. I'm thankful I have a daughter that lives in Hawaii and I get to go over and see her. I wouldn't care where she lived, to be honest with you. She's serving God, and that's the most important thing.
Amen.
And I got to see her this last week, of course, on Facebook through a video, but she was standing up in front of her church of about 300 people singing.
Yeah.
With a group of young ladies and young men.
Amen.
And that's a joy to my heart. Her roommate, I call her my secretly adopted daughter. It's not much of a secret because I post it on Facebook all the time. But it's just amazing what God does for us, isn't it? Even when we don't deserve it. We all have something we can be thankful for. Just being able to be here is something to be thankful for, isn't it?
Right.
I don't know your name, man. I seen you come in today, and I seen you struggling to sit down, and I don't know.
Miss Peggy.
I don't know why. I assume you had something done with your shoulder or your arm. And I'm not picking on you, but I'm thankful that you're here.
Amen.
And I'm thankful it's not worse. And I'm thankful for my good person, Joe, who ain't taking me to the hospital at 4 o'clock in the morning was no big thing. Just Joe took it in stride. And I'm thankful for the friendship.
It's nice to have good friends, isn't it?
Oh yeah. That's one of the greatest blessings God's given us is one another.
Yeah. Amen.
It's not easy to go through life alone.
Nope, it isn't. I think that's why they put prisoners in solitary confinement when they're not good, right?
I'm grateful for Amy and Dale coming up to our church and sharing their testimony with us. I'm grateful that there are churches like this. They believe in the word of God because I don't know the next generation that we have.
That's right. You're right. 100%.
And your doors are always open to us here. You call us our second church.
Literally, the doors are always open.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to thank God for his faithfulness and for his mercy when most of the time, if not all the time, we don't deserve it. I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
My family doesn't deserve it. And it's on his timing, and sometimes we forget about that. But that he always comes through.
Amen. Amen. I'm thankful that this church has two pastors that love the people here.
Amen.
They really love
Amen.
The people here. You could take that for granted. I know you don't, but when you get into a situation where that's not necessarily true, it's very difficult. Anybody else? I don't want to cut this short at all.
Amen. I like it. Here we go.
Chris?
I'm thankful for my wife and my four children. The church that he's provided for us.
Amen. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
I'm thankful he did it when he puts the baron in families.
Well, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
He puts the baron in families.
Baron in families? Anybody else want to share anything? Randy?
God, I'm mostly grateful to him because of Pastor and Mr. Zane, because unlike most people, they can actually knock some sense to you when no one else can.
And you mean it, right, Randy?
Oh, yes.
That's good.
At least he admits it. Most young men wouldn't.
Yeah. We had somebody over here.
Somebody else? Yes, ma'am. Thankful for her family. Amen. Anyone else?
Miss Ray Ray.
Ray Ray?
Papa.
Papa?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You turn in your Bibles real quick to Colossians chapter 2. I'm gonna wrap this up as quickly as I possibly can. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 7. And I said the key to that verse was being in Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse number 7, it says, rooted and built up in Him. And that's talking about Jesus Christ again. Mm-hmm. Rooted and built up in Him. Established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I think of being rooted, we all know what a tree is, we all know the roots of the tree, we all see, a lot of times we see the big roots that come out of the tree and go down into the ground. We've seen that before, we've seen a tree get tipped over. If you get the chance to go up and actually look at the tree when it's tipped over, then there's all these little tiny yeah. roots, they're called air roots. And those are the things that when I think of this, when it says rooted, it's those little tiny things where God is just letting you dig down into the soil and find the good stuff. Because that's what those hair roots do. They're down there and they find the nutrients in the water. And we get to do that here in this church. We get to put roots down. Right? And then we get built up. That's what the next word is in there. And built up. In Him. Established in the faith. As you've been taught. And we sure do get taught here, don't we? Mm-hmm. At this church.
Amen.
And then that word abounding. There are also synonyms down for abounding. Filled, teeming, abundant, bountiful, copious, plenteous, profuse, abounding. Therein with thanksgiving. Doesn't matter how bad it gets, folks. Doesn't matter how good it gets. We need to be thankful in everything. Especially if you're in Jesus Christ. I just want to read down through a couple of quick songs. We often sing songs and don't listen to the words. We don't pay attention to them. I'm not going to sing. And every single one of you can be thankful for that. Or maybe I will sing one of them just to torment you. These songs are not in our hymnal. And I told Pastor Hain, I said, the sad thing is that our hymnals must be a little deficient. But one that Mrs. Hain, I know Mrs. Hain likes to sing. She's sung it before. She's played it before. I've heard her sing it. It's called Thanks to God. It was written by Storm August Ludvig. He was a Swedish man. He was in the Salvation Army in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He had a severe back disorder, and he was able to support himself through writing songs, hymns. And the song is Thanks to God, and the words are, just listen to these words, because normally we sing them and we don't even think about it. It says, Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant, balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and stormy fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayers that thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Thanks for pain, and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns their stems contain. Thanks for home, and thanks for fireside. Thanks for hope, that sweet refrain. Thanks for joy, and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope in the tomorrow. Thanks for all eternity. And one more song. It's simply called Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's really just a little chorus. And it says, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Pastor Haney.
Amen.